The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Soon after healing the centurion's slave, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen amongst us, and God has looked favorably upon his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to try to address both the gospel and the reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians today. If I don't do that, give me a sock as you leave. But I want to start with Paul's letter to the Galatians. Did you get that there was a little conflict in that community over the very nature of what Paul had been teaching to them? And his response to those criticisms are interesting. He says, "I didn't get the gospel from any human source. Nobody told me the gospel." So the question is, then where did he get it? And his answer is, a revelation from Jesus. So you're thinking, well, maybe he downloaded it from the iCloud God, did a hard reset, did something that changed his entire interior. But what exactly is the nature of the revelation, which is also a word that translates apocalypse, a revealing? What was revealed to Saul on the road to Damascus? I like to call that RTD, road to Damascus. Most of us don't have RTD experiences like this. But I want to set it up a little bit by relating it to the Acts of the Apostles, and also to the gospel, some of the last things that Jesus says from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That all human intuition, all human knowledge did not clue in those who crucified Jesus as to what they were doing. Fast forward a little bit. Saul stood by as the first martyr, Stephen, was stoned to get to death. And as Stephen was being stoned to death, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That prayer and the prayer from the cross intersected Saul's life on the road to Damascus. He didn't know what he was doing. And to teach him something new, to change his life, his whole life had to be turned upside down. His reputation was as a zealous person, religious zealous person, who knew right from wrong, who had all the brownie points that you can achieve. At St. Cross, they used to give out these awards for the years of attendance, and there were some people who had them down to their belly buttons. He had all those. Zealous for God and for the traditions, that which was handed down from one human being to another human being. He had it all together until Saul, aka Paul, aka persecutor, aka proclaimer of the good news, was met on the road to Damascus by Jesus. This is the basis on which Paul preached the good news. He met Jesus. Well, isn't that sweet? He met Jesus. What do you suppose Jesus had to say to Paul? You've been such a good person. I'm going to make you one of my chief disciples. You're going to go out and you're going to change the world. Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul, stumbling about to try to make sense out of things that don't make sense, said, "Who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Saul goes blind for 3 days. Saul is nursed back to health by Christians that he was on the way to persecute and arrest. At the end of 3 days, or should we say on the third day, that sound familiar? On the third day, just as Jesus rose from the dead, Saul of Tarsus became Paul. And he could no longer see the world the way he'd seen it before, Jew and Gentile, good and bad, black and white. He could only see the world through the eyes of the one he met on the road to Damascus, who asked him that simple question, why are you persecuting me? Well, he wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting Christians. That moment of enlightenment, Paul stood convicted. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to help us have that moment with Jesus where our eyes are open to see the world through the eyes of God. That's called faith. And in that one moment, Paul saw the people he was coming to destroy as the people who are his salvation. That's where he got this gospel that he went off and preached. He was dead to what he had been, and now he was alive in Christ. On the same page, folks? Yeah? We may not all have an RTD, but I'm guessing that in your lifetime, you have persecuted others. I'm guessing in your lifetime, even the persecutors have been persecuted by others. And isn't that the dynamic of how the world works? Isn't that the vision of life that we have been taught? That's been handed down from generation to generation, us against them. And some moment in our lives, perhaps we saw just a glimpse of Jesus who asked us the question as we were on our way to torment, persecute, whatever, accuse. The question asked, "Why are you persecuting me?" And in that moment, we are given what Paul is speaking about, the intelligence of the victim. The ability to see that those that we oppose can offer us a view of life that looks very much like the view from the cross. Not a view of revenge or intolerance, but an all-embracing, graceful, merciful life out of death experience. And so our gospel reading today, this poor woman who's coming out of the city, and as I was reading this over and over and over again, this story, all I could think about was how Mary must have felt as Jesus was being led out of the city to be crucified. How she must have thought, my only son, who's going to take care of me? How am I going to survive? And you know the scene on the cross where Jesus turns to the disciple that he loves and says, here's your mother. Here's your son. And in that moment of unbelievable care, not for the young man who's died, get that, not for the young man who's died, not for Saul of Tarsus, but for the mother. He stops the procession, touches what is ritually impure to touch, the bier, and says, resurrect, come to life. And that young man was restored to his mother. We never really know. You know, all the people that Jesus healed or brought back from the dead, they all died. But we're all given an opportunity to die so that we can truly and deeply live in grace. So I would challenge you today that the whole point of resurrection is to change the way we see one another, is to give us life out of our deadly ways of being human. And I would challenge you to just do a review of your life. Think about the times that maybe you were like Saul on your way to persecute. And maybe your RTD experience can happen now. Maybe you can see and hear the Lord say, why are you doing that? Why are you persecuting me? And maybe you, like Saul, can have your life handed back to you. Christian community is all about that, isn't it? We all get to rehearse week after week after week this story of once I was dead and now I'm alive. This is the story of Saul, now Paul. This is the story of every disciple who's followed Jesus ever since. This is our story because we are participating in the drama of what it is to be human. And we've been given the opportunity, as Paul said, to be crucified with Christ so that we may be raised with him in resurrection. Amen.